Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. I'm delighted to welcome Annie Marcellaise, Chief Marketing Officer at Business Development Bank of Canada, to the show today. We have listeners all over the world tuning into the Fearless Women podcast, including Australia, Japan, Norway, Spain, India, and so many more countries. Thank you to all of our listeners, and thank you to you, Annie, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So much to talk about. So let's get like right into it. Let's start with fearless. By definition, is not afraid, or at least being bold. So what's the last thing you, Annie, have done that's really scared you?
Oh, it's actually very recent. It's taking on the CMO role at BDC. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say it scared me so much, but it gave me the vertigo, and it still does at times. And essentially, I would say, you know, fearless is not being without fear. And I think that's the overall concept of your podcast, but it's to fear less and jump on the occasion. So I don't know that it's never stopped me. The fears have never stopped me. But it's, you know, I need to go ahead. I need to deliberately go through that fear and pass it and own it and own the challenge that's being given to me. So that's quite recent. And actually, I have lots of fears.
Any others you want to share?
Well, I've put myself in different situations over my life, like going backpacking by myself, although I didn't feel I was the most courageous person. Started dance class very late in my teenage years, whereby everybody was already very seasoned at dancing. So putting myself in uncomfortable situations. So I guess it's a way for me to overcome the initial fear. And I've learned that every time I was able to overcome that fear. So that's actually given me, I guess, a new strength, a new superpower.
Absolutely. Like I experience it as well when you push yourself into that spot and then you think, oh, why did I say yes? No, I'm going to say no. I'm going to be sick that day. Maybe I can break my leg or something like that. And then you think, no, wait a sec. I wanted this. I chose this. I want it. So is that how you do you kind of make a big, bold decision and say, even if I'm feeling fearful, I'm still going to just push?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So going back to, so it's really owning it. So mm-hmm. It's like, it's changing the narrative in your head at the end of the day, because we have those relentless little phrases that come into our minds and saying, oh my God, this is, you know, you have to be careful with this and you have to be careful with that. But it's a conscious change of the narrative inside. And I do have a few phrases that I use oftentimes to calm myself down and to really go through this initial feeling of anxiety or fear.
And what are those special phrases? What do you say to yourself?
Oh, there's one that I actually use a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a very well-known, I believe, phrase that I use in self-reflection or even meditation. And I've used that even when I was in school. And it's the famous, everything is going to be all right, from Bob Marley. And it's actually working really,
that.
Really well.
Yeah.
And with the rhythm that comes with it. And every time I repeat it to myself, everything's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. And I just start to sway actually in my seat.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. You get that feeling.
Yes.
Okay. So what about the 10-year-old Annie? Was she saying that? What was that girl like?
I don't know that I knew of Bob Marley at the time. But definitely the 10-year-old Annie was probably fearless. I was very active, still am, living a normal, like childhood, loving parents, great neighborhood. I grew up in a mid-sized town outside of Montreal, east of Montreal. Clearly, I was more on the arts side, like expressive, dancing, gymnastics, theater, more than the math side. Always wanted to be ahead, wanted to have a leadership role. I was playing a lot with the boys because all my neighbors and friends were boys. And so I had to lead others. And so I grew up really building self-confidence that I could that I could make things happen.
Is there anything you learned in particular when you think about that time, like just hanging out with boys and, you know, because that must have kind of shaped your career or how you've or just even your thinking maybe?
Sure. I always felt comfortable because that's how I grew up. There was, you know, there was no distinction. I mean, these were my friends, and you know, over time, you realize there are some differences between the genders. But I always felt comfortable, and I grew up and still have a lot of male friends. And I just think it gave me the opportunity to not feel different. Mm-hmm. It's always been my normal life. And obviously, throughout my career, I grew up and developed in a male-dominated environment. And that's never intimidated me. It's always been, you know, that's how our society is built. And I just need to, you know, follow my instincts, follow my convictions, and the rest will follow.
Mm-hmm. And everything will be all right.
Everything's going to be all right.
So BDC is known as the bank for entrepreneurs in Canada. And we worked together when you hired my company, the Beacon Agency, to train women entrepreneurs. But you had this enormously cool idea of the BDC Bootcamp for Women Entrepreneurs. It's a bold idea. How you kind of came up with this and why you think it's needed. And of course, the impact it's having across Canada.
It was needed and it will continue to be needed. And the fact is, only 16% of Canadian small and medium-sized businesses are majority women-owned. And women entrepreneurs represent an enormous untapped potential in driving the Canadian economy forward. So it is our job at BDC, the only bank exclusively devoted to entrepreneurs, to unleash that potential, because diversity is good for business, and it's been proven over and over again that diverse companies generate more revenues, more innovation, and so on and so forth. So we know for a fact, we've studied it in over the years, that women face different challenges when starting a business. Less access to capital, fewer mentors or role models to look up to, challenge with the fact that they need to balance more the work and life with the children and so on. So we felt that we need to do more in hearing over and over again. I think your own studies demonstrated it, that they need more access to all those things. So one of the things that we decided to do last year is to create, with your help, the We Talk Business Bootcamps, and We standing for Women Entrepreneurs. So over a 9-month period, we hosted a series of 15 bootcamps coast to coast, covered all the business bases like leadership, money, people, strategy, all with a take on growth. Because at BDC, what we want is to get those small businesses, and typically the women business instance, to be smaller, to help them scale. And so it was a bold, to your point, it was a bold, very ambitious and idea, but oh boy, did we receive good feedback to how valuable these boot camps were. And not only did the content that was provided during the content was really appreciated, but it was the fact that we were putting like-minded people and women entrepreneurs together in a room for a full day. It created a lot of networking opportunities, business opportunities. And so there was close to 700 women entrepreneurs who participated, but at least 10 times, who were exposed to those boot camps. And we've received so many good comments about the impact that they had on the path forward.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience for me, certainly. And when I think about ripples of change, knowing that, hey, we are helping, as you said, you know, almost 700 women entrepreneurs rethink their businesses and think 10x growth. Like, that's super exciting. And it has real meaningful implications for our economy.
It does. And it does. And that's why, I mean, we're not done. We'll never be done. And so we continue investing significantly in providing the right tools, the right programs, making it easier to access the money they need to grow. So we have a lots of program on the way dedicated to women entrepreneurs. And so we've learned a lot through the design of these boot camps, and there's more to come over the coming year and the years to come.
It's exciting. So marketing and communications, that's an interest and a passion that we share. My undergrad is in communications, and I go back every year on campus. I was just there recently to talk to grads about why I think a communications degree is so relevant, more so even today, because I believe, you know, whoever can convey ideas will always have a job. And, you know, there's a lot of concern on campus today with young people thinking about, oh, how can I use my degree in terms of a job? But when we think about an increasingly complex world, you know, those who can convey ideas to me are the ones that will be employed. But what's your view of marketing and communications as we think about skills and jobs for the future?
I'm very optimistic, actually. And I do that, too. I've been invited to my alma mater a few times to speak to public relations students. My background, like, essentially, it's division of communications, but it's public relations, and I enjoy that a lot. And there's clearly a bright future for them, no matter what they end up doing, because communications can lead you, well, to become a CMO, for example, but it can lead you to being an interviewer, to have your own agency, to so many different things. But I couldn't agree more how important strategic communications are in organizations, in our society. You mentioned complexity, and I would add change. Change management has become an official discipline within organization, and change management is all about proactively communicating what's ahead and bringing people to embrace the change to see what's in it for them. So my view is communications should be mandatory in most management curriculum, undergrad, MBAs. And the reason why I say that, and when I did my PR undergrad, a third of the courses were management courses, but the opposite does not exist. And when you think about entrepreneurs and leaders, that's what defines great leadership, and that's what defines where a company will be. It's your ability to communicate your ideas clearly. So being open, honest, and timely in when you're communicating will really help shape your brand, personal brand, but also your company's brand and reputation. So in an increasingly technology-driven world, I do believe that communications will be and continue to be essential and a skill to be developed. So I'm glad I did that. And I'm glad you did too.
Me too. And you've had such an interesting career with so many different roles with different companies. And one that I thought I wanted to just highlight is Yellow Pages. So take us back to working there, because talk about, you know, I spent time, as you know, in the music industry, and that's, you know, in an industry that's faced disruption and innovation, but so has the Yellow Pages. So, you know, take us back to working there. And then if you could give us a sense of advice you have for, you know, people starting out in their careers, young women, what do they need to think about when they think about, as you mentioned, complexity, but also disruption and innovation?
Sure. It's funny because I think some of your listeners will not even know what Yellow Pages is. So I feel a bit antiquated. But all that to say, Yellow Pages has been a phenomenal professional school for me. I think I've experienced in a decade what most people will maybe experience in their whole career. So when I joined Yellow Pages back in the days, the company had just been spun off by Bell, you know, the telephone company. And so we had to create a whole new identity. We had no name. And then it became Yellow Pages Group. And I oversaw the marketing of the initial public offering. So when the company went public at the time, I oversaw the marketing of it. And it was the largest in income trust history. And I had no clue what an IPO was before I jumped into the journey. Then there was a succession of dozens of acquisitions and integration of related companies coast to coast. So my role grew with the company at the time. And then then came, obviously, as we're in the digital world, the digital transformation that led to a rebranding. And I was part, front and center of all these major milestones. So that was a very, very rich experience. And then we moved from Bay Street Darlings to A Real Fall from Grace. So a roller coaster of experience, a roller coaster of emotions over that decade. But I would say that throughout that accelerated learning experience, I seized every single opportunity that I was given. And I think that's when I realized that I was sort of a builder, that I could take on important assignments and be successful, even if I didn't know anything about what was given to me beforehand. And I learned to dare. I learned to take my seat at the table. And most of those experiences were first for me. So it was stressful, for sure, and even scary at times, but very exhilarating. And I guess you mentioned advice to women. When you are being offered an opportunity, just jump on it. Just say yes. Don't hesitate to jump into the unknown. You'll figure it out. And once there, just ask questions. And you know what? Seek help. It doesn't show vulnerability to seek help. People are happy to help. And so I would say just jump. Jump on the occasion.
I couldn't agree more. Curiosity, like my favorite word actually is why. In the whole dictionary, it's why. I love it. Why? I'm not sure my mom always loved it when I was young, you know. But I think that's such practical advice. Like ask for help and ask, be curious. And it's okay. You don't have to know everything, right?
Exactly. And between you and I, what I found out is when you're being put in a situation where you don't have a priori, so you're not seasoned, I mean, people will accept your what you think often are stupid questions or irrelevant questions. And that's where I've learned that I strive the most, because I don't have the experience and I don't have the barriers. And so you're able to ask questions, you're able to bring new light, new thinking, new line of sight. And so that's proven to be extremely rich for me.
Yeah. And asking what may seem obvious questions can really uncover interesting answers and solutions too.
Absolutely. Yes. People take things for granted. Oh, we've done that for 10 years and it's never worked, or it's worked that way. Yeah. And so what? And why? You're going back to your why.
Exactly. So now you're the chief marketing officer at BDC. And to me, as you know, and I said this in the boot camps for women entrepreneurs, marketing is simply, do people know when to call you? You know, meaning that, you know, what you do, what you offer, you're an expert in, is clear. And so when someone needs your product or services, they know who it is to call. So what is the role like chief marketing officer for BDC? And why are you so excited about it? Because you certainly are pretty excited about this exciting role.
I am excited, and I'm excited to be at BDC because I think it's a fabulous organization that has a purpose that speaks to millions of entrepreneurs out there, and certainly to the employees who are devoted to helping entrepreneurs. I was hired to update BDC's brand and shed the image of the past and become more forward-looking and making sure that entrepreneurs knew what we stood for and how we could help. And we're a very different kind of bank. So that's what excites me every day, because we're working side by side with other financial institutions. We have a unique offering of financing, but also advisory services, because yes, entrepreneurs need money, but they also need advice. They need guidance. They need someone by their side who will help they make the right choices. And so we're focused on all entrepreneurs. And that's what's also very interesting. We recognize the importance of diversity in the workforce and the role we play. For example, we talked a lot about women entrepreneurs, but also Indigenous entrepreneurs have specific challenges. And we have an Indigenous banking unit that understand these challenges. social entrepreneurs. So it's just a fabulous organization with a purpose that I love. So being the CMO and making sure that BDC is known for the impact we can have on Canadian small businesses is really something I'm proud of.
Well, and I love that you mentioned the B Corp, because that is really exciting and also very relevant. So many companies in Canada are interested in it. It's important to note, though, you know, it's very stringent. There's a certification process. You can't just, you know, say, I want to be a B Corp. So, but you do have expertise. And when you talk about your advisory services, I know you have experts that can help those businesses that want to become B Corps as well.
Absolutely. There's actually, it's one thing to be certified, but there's a lot of what we call B Corp-ish companies out there who actually behave in the way that, yes, they want to make money, they want to be profitable, and so should they, but they will do so by giving back to their community, by using the highest ethical standards. So there's a lot of companies out there that every day I've decided that I'm going to be profitable, but it's going to be for the good of my society and my community. So these are equally important. Certification is just like the Olympians of the crowd, but there's the whole sorts of amateur that are equally important in our economy. And as a B Corp ourselves, we make sure that they connect among each other because they're like-minded and they want to make Canada a better place.
Yeah, and you often hear it referenced in terms of triple bottom line, you know, people, planet, profit, that kind of approach. And so to your point, it is important to know you don't have to be certified to be thinking about those three areas as you go about running your business.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you often hear people talk about the need to be continuously evolving and upgrading skills, obviously, and this idea of what got you here won't get you there. What are some of the key skills and approaches that enabled you to get to this important role at BDC?
We hear a lot about soft skills these days, and I'm not a big fan of that expression. I prefer to talk about people skills because it's about, you know, human skills. Over the years, I've learned to be more open, accessible, vulnerable even. I was really private and I was not opening myself up to my colleagues in the past. And I've learned that it was actually a barrier to have more meaningful relationship with my colleagues. So I've learned to be more empathetic to others. And I'm generally a positive person and I appreciate that in others. So I think that these are skills of the 21st century that are very, very important. And we see that surpassing the more competent, the hard skills when we're selecting leaders, for example. So the people skills are really, really important. Of course, adaptability is extremely important in the face of so much change, the fast-paced environment we live in. So adapting to new ways of working and adapting our working styles too. And I'm being confronted personally with that all the time. So I need to adapt to agility, for example. Agility being implemented in an organization, which means we're changing the entire way we're working, so giving more accountability to people. And so we have to be open to changing the way we work. But generally, I would say I agree with the fact that what got you here won't get you there, but you certainly, and everybody has core strengths, and these strengths should really be the strengths that you capitalize on. Doesn't mean that you put them to use the same way, but these remain your core strengths. For example, I'm somebody who's been known to make things happen, or to be like very detail oriented. As a leader, as a CMO now, I cannot spend as much time into the details and as much time in delivering projects myself. So I need to adapt that same skill and take it at another level, simply.
Yeah, upgrading it or thinking about it differently. I read an interesting book recently that was talking about strengths are great, but what's even more important in terms of success are your habits.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So it was like, it's great to do, you know, Strength Finder, et cetera. But Mm-hmm. If you're great at something and then don't have the habits to actually kind of make it happen.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. And so one of the habits that I see has been a consistent commitment by you to volunteering. Personally, I believe it's a powerful way, of course, to give back to your community. But at the same time, you know, if I think about myself as an entrepreneur, I'm gaining so many valuable skills because, you know, I can make decisions for me and my team on my own, essentially. I'm like, you know, the buck stops here with me. But when you're around a boardroom table, you know, you have to persuade your colleagues and your board directors to either see your point of view or a different point of view. So, you know, why do you volunteer and how do you decide for somebody who's as busy as you are? How do you decide who gets your time and attention?
It's a really good question. Who gets my time and attention? I started volunteering really to help others. I think it's in line with my values. And people really were looking for advice on communications or public relations or, you know, where my skills are at. So that's how it really started. And I realized that those tiny pieces of advice that you give can go such a long way. So I did that to contribute to my profession, whether it was public relations, investor relations, and I still do that. I'm actually involved in monthly meetings with communications and marketing executives where we exchange on best practices. So it's a way of volunteering, but also to make sure that I keep my edge into what I do, and sharing expertise and experiences is very, very enriching, similarly to what you describe as an entrepreneur. But also there's a cause that I have embraced over the past 10 years, and I've been on the board of directors, which is the Fondation Marie-Vincent. Mm-hmm. It's a Quebec-based or Montreal-based organization who help children and teenagers who are victims of sexual abuse. And and when I think about this cause, it is an extremely difficult one that should really not exist, but we've heard of the Me Too and we know how important it is our society. So I've been attracted by these more difficult causes because I see that when you get involved in those board of directors, you can actually make a difference, and not only for the community, but for the children in this case that can live a better life when they're being help, then they come to the center to receive the appropriate support. You know, I'm a mother of two young children. I want to give them the right values. I've been given good values, and giving back to organizations like that, it's just my nature. So I will make time for it. And if I'm super busy, this is something that keeps my own balance, and I'm happy to set aside some time for it.
Yeah, me too. I've been a lifelong volunteer. And your point around, you know, the ability to make a significant contribution is, I think, very rewarding. I got involved in mental health and then youth mental health. And to see how the narrative around how we think about that, how that's changed over the last decade or so, has been very gratifying.
Totally. Absolutely.
So what are you reading right now? Is there time at all? You know, because you have so many commuting demands. Do you have time to read, or is it all work stuff? Or are you just, are you social media? What's happening with Annie and books?
I have a French literature undergrad, so you have to love reading to go through this.
Absolutely.
And so I do read lots of books in parallel. So I'm not a person of one book at a time. So I have like four books sitting on my night table that I read like bits and pieces. Or when I'm traveling for work or for leisure, I always have a book with me. So there's right now I'm into leadership because of my new role, but constantly, I mean, since I've had senior roles, I constantly read on leadership, meaning of life and work a lot. Also parenting, being the mother to young children. So right now I've just finished actually the book, How Will You Measure Your Life? By mm-hmm. Clayton Christensen, Harvard mm-hmm. business professor, and that changed the way I look at things. All the opportunities that we've talked about that I've seized over the years, and I was looking at friends in my university years where, you know, I want to be here in 5 years, and in 10 years I'm going to be X, Y, Z, I'm going to be CEO, whatever. And I did not have that. I felt, you know I want to get somewhere at some point in life, but I was not as deliberate as these people. And this book really tells you that, yes, you have to have some deliberate objectives, but you also have to, you have to give yourself flexibility and being open to opportunities. And this is more what happened to me. And I'm happy with my decisions. And so I really recommend that book. Another book that I'm reading is Difficult Conversations. Mm-hmm. It's tough to have difficult conversations, not only in a work environment, but with your significant other, with your children. So there's really some good nuggets in that book.
You know, I don't know if you know this, Annie, that I have certification in conflict resolution, and we have a world-class training organization called the Center for Conflict Resolution, and it's affiliated with University of Ottawa. And I agree with you, being able to understand how to have those difficult conversations is incredibly important, because avoiding them doesn't make it work. It doesn't get better.
And it goes back to putting yourself into the other person's shoes, understanding dynamics between individuals. So difficult conversation, conflict resolution, there's a whole territory there that I'm starting to explore, and I find fascinating.
It is fascinating. And it's also so important as a leader. Absolutely. The other thing is, so you talked about working out, and I know you're an avid runner, and there's often a link between women leaders have had competitive sports in their lives. Growing up, was that true of you?
I've always been energetic. I've always stayed active, but I'm more into individual sports aside from having been a modern jazz dancer for 15 years. So I think it's for the practical side of it, because I run. So I'm an avid alpine skier, but I'm also a short distance runner, and it's just easy. I just put on my running shoes wherever I am around the world, traveling with my family or on business. It's really easy for me to do. And same goes for stretching. I do a lot of core strength workout. I don't have to carry anything with me. I just need a mat. And so it's super easy. And exercising throughout my life has enabled me to keep my sanity.
So, final question for you, Annie. What is your dream for Canada?
Oh, that's a big question. I was listening to a radio show recently, and it got me to realize first how privileged we are to be born and to live in Canada. And I do believe it's a privilege, and we should nourish that privilege and not be complacent about it, because we know that economic and political stability is very, very fragile. We see it in other countries. So we are privileged, and let's not take that for granted. You know, in a nutshell, I hope Canada will continue to be safe, welcoming, diverse, inclusive, as it is today. That's really what I'm hoping for Canada.
It's a beautiful dream for Canada. Annie Marcellet, big thinker with big ideas. She's the Chief Marketing Officer at Business Development Bank of Canada. Thank you for joining us today on the Fearless Women Podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app, and follow us on Instagram at Fearless Women Podcast. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women Podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.